Right, so TULIP, this acronym, which stands for total depravity, unconditional election, limited atonement, irresistible grace, and preservation of the saints. Let's just go through those headings. T, total depravity. Our natures are totally affected by sin. In and of ourselves, we cannot come to God. It is impossible. We naturally have no desire for our Creator. We are God's enemies, at enmity with our God, inherited from Adam when he fell in the Garden of Eden just after creation. So we're totally depraved, not meaning that we're the worst sinner that ever lived, but we cannot come to God. We do not have spiritual capability in and of ourselves naturally to turn to the living God. We are lost. But we thank God for you, which is unconditional election. God, out of his mercy and grace, chose in eternity past to save and elect people. He saw no goodness in any of them, and certainly did not make his election based on foreseeing those who would come to him. It was not through God's foreknowledge in that sense. He knew who would come to him, but they would come to him because he had elected them without condition. And then L, limited atonement. Christ, the eternal Son of God, came as a perfect man to die on the cross to save sinners. Not to save everyone. His sacrificial and substitutionary death was limited to save God's elect, those whom God had chosen. Christ was punished for all the sins of his elect people. Atonement, at one with God. So he died for his people. He did not die for everyone, but he died for those whom God had chosen in his mercy and grace under that unconditional election. In order for them to come and us to come to believe in this because of our total depravity, we need a work outside of ourselves. And so we have I, irresistible grace. God sent his Holy Spirit to give faith to those for whom Christ died, so that they are born again and made spiritually alive towards God, enabling them to repent and believe, quickened and saved. So it is God who renews that dead spirit that we inherit from Adam. He quickens that. There is new birth. We're born again into the family of God, into his elect people. And we are atoned, at one with God. We have irresistible grace. And so God sent his Spirit to those for whom Christ died. And this brings us to that new birth, that call of the Holy Spirit, which enables us to repent and believe, as we thought just now. And then, once saved, not according to some, but according to Scripture, preserved. The preservation of the saints, the perseverance of them, the preservation of all believers. None of Christ's elect will be lost. Everyone for whom he died will be saved. No more, no less. And so all for whom Christ died will be saved and preserved by God to eternal life, to live with him in heaven. The Lord will see to it that they persevere through life in this sinful world and enter eternal heaven either on their death or when Christ comes again. So we have Tulip in total depravity. Our natures are totally affected by sin. We're spiritually dead in all our trespasses and our sin. Our hearts, our wills, and our minds are spiritually dead towards God. In and of ourselves, we cannot come to God. It is impossible. Dead is dead. We naturally have no desire for our God. We are at enmity with God. We're in fact God's enemies. As rebellious sinners, we fully deserve God's wrath and judgment to spend eternity away from him in hell. That is our just desert. So God has intervened to save us. We have unconditional election. Let me recap. God elected, chose to save his people, and he chose them in eternity past. He sent his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as a man, Emmanuel, God with us, to live a perfect life, to keep the law of God perfectly, to satisfy that law in every jot and tittle. And he would die for those who had broken it, for us, to be our substitute and savior, dying on the cross. So we are elect, chosen as individuals. We're not chosen as families or as a nation or as a church. It is individually that we are chosen. Without this electing love, no one would be saved. The Lord Jesus said to his disciples, and he says to us in John 15:16, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you." It's a good thing to read those chapters, John 14:15, 16, and 17, when the Lord discoursed with his disciples in the upper room, and he made promises to them, and he made these promises to us. "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you." We have a recap now of limited atonement. When Christ died on the cross, atonement, at one with God, made one with God. What a beautiful relationship that is, that we are restored to. We who were once enemies, totally depraved, no good in us whatsoever, living evil continually, when saved, we are fully reconciled to our God, at peace with him through Christ's substitutionary death for his people on the cross. The guilt of all our sin, totally removed, justified, no condemnation. And this was by covenant agreement, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in eternity past, no time set to it. It always was in their hearts, in their agreement between them, to save a people. So we call it the covenant of grace. And as Mr. Lincoln's ministered to us last week, the better covenant, sometimes called the second covenant. But as we remind ourselves, it was second in it being made known to man, but it was first in God's thinking. It always has been in eternity past. We have here the gospel in this covenant of grace. Limited atonement, yes, only to save God's elect. It would be impossible for Christ to have died for a people and they not come to Christ. They not come in faith. God will not punish sin twice. If he has laid it upon his son for his people, then he will not lay it upon those of us who are his people. But he will lay it upon those who are not his people, for they must bear it themselves. They stand in God's holy judgment. So, The atonement was not limited in what it could do for God's people, for it did everything that was necessary to save, to take away the sin. Not one sin will be left uncovered. Otherwise, we could not enter heaven. We cannot enter heaven with most of our sins forgiven. We can only enter heaven with all our sins forgiven. So our Lord is a successful Saviour. And he said in John 17, verse 5, none shall be lost for whom Christ died. Hallelujah. What a Saviour. We thank the Lord on the cross that he cried out, it is finished. The wrath of God had been laid upon him. He had borne all that wrath of God that was deserved by us, elect. And it was now dealt with and completely finished. So, it is irresistible. There are two calls to come to God. There is the general call, and the gospel is preached to all. We do not know who God's elect are. We must preach the gospel to every creature, young and old. We must bring the saving gospel of Jesus Christ to the ears and leave it with the Holy Spirit to touch the hearts. Because there is the irresistible, effectual call, which is the call of the Holy Spirit. When the gospel is preached, God's elect people will respond, for they will turn to him. Without God's irresistible call, without it, no one would be saved. So we praise the Lord for all these wonderful doctrines that we have in Scripture. The spiritual deadness that we inherited from Adam is fully repaired by God's irresistible and effectual call. The sinner is made willing. Can you look back, if you're a believer, to your conversion? Can you look back to that time when you were convicted of your sin? How you realized that you had broken every one of God's commandments, broken them many, many times. Is that in your experience? So, God will gladly respond in faith. Sorry, the person who comes to Christ will gladly respond in faith and repentance, and God will faithfully meet us in our need. And so the quickening work of the Holy Spirit brings us irresistibly. We cannot say no. We do not want to say no. How foolish it would be to say no. We come to the Saviour. That wonderful new birth, born again, born from above, Nicodemus, a ruler in Israel. And yet the Lord said to him, Nicodemus, do you not realize that you must be born again to be a believer? You must be born from above. Who of us spend any effort in our conception, in our birth? No, that was of others, of our parents. And so the birth of the Christian is of our parent, the Father and the Holy Spirit. And Christ makes it possible for us to stand in that state, to adopt us into the family of Christ. What a privilege we have. So the sovereign work of God in and on spiritually dead souls changes the will so that that person will come gladly and willingly. And we cannot do this ourselves. In John 3, verse 3, the apostle writes, verily, verily, I say unto thee, in fact, it is the Lord speaking, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. In that conversation with Nicodemus, only those chosen will be born again and saved. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace, you are saved. This wonderful new birth experience. Ephesians 2, 4 to 6. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 2, verse 8. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It, faith, is the gift of God, not of works, not of our own doing, lest any man should boast. The only thing we should boast in is the Saviour who died and rose again in his shed blood and his substitutionary death. Let us boast in that and not in our own coming to the Lord, because that is all of God's grace and mercy. God gives faith to his elect. And we read in Ezekiel 36, 25 to 27, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart, and I will give you a new heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, my law. Ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. What encouraging words are those? You shall be my people, and I shall be your God. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, elect, choose, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. Romans 8:30. We have the joy and privilege of bringing these thoughts to the Bible class children through the August period. Each week we will take one of those major subjects, and being called, justified, glorified. We pray that the Lord will bless us as we seek to teach the children, that they would come in faith. In John 6:39, the Lord says, this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, the elect, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. This is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. John 6:39. This poses serious questions to us. Did Christ die for me? Has God changed my heart? Have I been born again? Has my spiritual dead state been rescued and replaced by a heart of compliance? Have I heard this irresistible call? The gospel call from God is, come today, now, and seek my forgiveness. Let us believe the doctrines of grace, TULIP, total depravity, unconditional election, limited atonement, irresistible grace, perseverance of the saints. We trust the Lord will bless us as we have rehearsed those quite well-known truths that they bear going over again and again. And we should think of them daily and appreciate them as we live our lives and walk with the Lord, and as we look forward to being with him in eternity to come.